Well, good news. We've got two people on the line, Tracy and Shane. But before we get to them, we've got another kind of good news, Carolyn. Somebody guessed who the Harvey Iron Hand can you guess who guessed it?
No. Jenny.
If I say that I think it was a Canadian program, I don't think they had it in the States. It might have been British, and then they showed it on CBC in 1955. So who does that single out could know this?
Sue.
That's right.
Yay.
Yeah, here's Sue emailing in quicking from cold, dark Toronto. She says, Long John Silver, ! Ah, you stood on the fence there, Sue, but you're right.
No, that's an interrobang.
Double duty interrobang, but it has the doubt. She didn't want to be wrong, so she covered her ass.
No, it's an interrobang, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a question. That's 2 points. It's yes and question. Yes, and question mark. It's split. It's doubtful, yet maybe certain guys covering your ass, you know. So, anyways, very good, Sue. Yes, that was Long John Silver. Google Long John Silver, The Adventures of Long John Silver, and look at a couple of the TV shows that were broadcast in the Commonwealth, probably, the Queen's Commonwealth, in the mid-50s. Long John Silver. Just look, it's an interesting TV show. Okay, so she says, Sue says, I loved your music on Tuesday, Bob. Mozart was delicious. I had just seen Amadeus, the movie, again last week in Lima, Peru. So an anomaly for me. That's neat. I like the obscure 50s stuff you find that has such smoothness and ease. A good contrast to a hard edge of Ion. Yee! Got more Ion? Yeah, we're going to have some Ion soon. Depends on how much Tracy and Shane want to talk. But we're here for many more hours, so we're going to get to Ion. The thing is that a good contrast to the hard edge. Yes, Ion adopted a more harder edge as the series went on. Some people thought that Ion had changed, but I was just knowing that you were getting tougher, so it upped the ante. Oh, and then there's another email from Sue. She says, hey, Carolyn, we are the experiment, ... in the best way with Joy in a Bottle. That's capitalized. Joy in a Bottle. Is that some kind of product, Joy in a Bottle? Someone else
that's
use
the
it?
RNA job.
I know, but could it be used by someone else?
No.
Joy in a Bottle. Okay. Could be used in a commercial. Glad to be an increasingly youthful guinea pig. Very good. By the way, Sue, guinea is G-I-N-U-E-A. Put a U in there after the end. Guinea pig. Okay, so now just review what we heard. Kate Bush, I like her music, and she was born in 1958. She's English singer-songwriter, and we heard Running Up That Hill, which, let's see, when did that come out? You just click on it. August 1985, released in the UK on the album Hounds of Love. So Kate Bush is pretty unique, and we featured her. But then... Oh, just say something about her. In 1987, she won a Brit Award for Best Female Solo Artist. And in 2002, her songwriting ability was recognized with an Ivor Novello Award for Outstanding Contribution to British Music. She also became commander of the most excellent order of the British Empire, just like Bob Marley. He got a bunch of letters after his name. She got a CBE. And in the 20, it just happened, in the 2013 New Year's Honors for Services to Music. So the Queen recognized her. I guess she was she didn't subscribe to LaRouche literature. She didn't see Lady Diana started corresponding with LaRouche, and nobody's brought that up as a factor of why she was killed. The fact she started corresponding with LaRouche's exposure of Prince Charles and the Prussians behind the oligarchy crown jewels, which you would have heard us talking about last week or the week before. So that's Kate Bush. So she sparked some interesting little talk here. And then the next one, oh. Now, this person is probably one of the greatest singers or songwriters that ever will be. Her music will never die. There'll always be hipsters in bohemian cafes swaying to crazy? What is it? What was it called? Crazy? Crazy after all these years or something? What was that called? Crazy. I don't even list it here. It's got to have it here. Just want to get the exact title. Crazy? Why am I think that's not right? It's Willie Nelson's crazy. Well, see, mistakes lead to interesting points. I didn't know this. Willie Nelson's crazy. Let's see.
Who's the singer talking about?
Oh, I forgot to say, the greatest. She's on the Tiny Note chart. She's in the Rouge Quadrant. Patsy Cline. Patsy Cline is incredible. She made, what's her name? Might have got the Prince Charles OBE, but old Patsy Cline said, I made Bob's Tiny Note chart. That'll be, in the long run, a bigger honor. It says, Crazy is a ballad composed by Willie Nelson. It's been recorded by several artists, most notably, of course, by Patsy Cline, whose version was a number two country hit in 1962. Partly due to the genre-blending nature of this song, Crazy, it has been covered by dozens of artists in several genres over the years. See, that's why, she's a crossover kind of source. Nevertheless, the song remains inextricably linked with Cline, right? Everybody agrees with that. It's her. She made it hers. Is it just called Crazy? Well, I can't even remember how it went. Do you remember? Wait, can you sing it? Sue, can you sing it? Then we'll get maybe Tracy sing it. Anyways, Patsy Cline, it's always a pleasure, and maybe we'll play another song by her later. And then Toots and the Maytals, he's a Jamaican musical group, one of the best known ska and rock steady, there's that term again, rock steady vocal groups. And what's interesting about him is that he was born in 1945, the youngest of seven children, and he grew up singing gospel music in a church choir, then moved to Kingston at the age of 13. What we just heard was, what was it called? Pressure Group. Pressure Day. Okay, it says here, following his release from jail, and his real name is Frederick Toots Hibbert. So he ended up in jail. He was not arrested for ganja, but while bailing a friend. He released from jail in the end of 67, and they began the Maytals working with the Chinese Jamaican producer Leslie Kong, a collaboration which yielded a string of hits throughout the late 1960s and early 70s. These included Do the Reggae, one of several songs released in 1968 to first use the word reggae. So reggae comes out as a term after Rai returns to the Plane of Essence. So note that. Rai returned to the Plane of Essence January 67, according to Dave Worcester. And then Pressure Drop came out in that year, 68, 69, and it was a popular song. So, I hope I'm not using up too much time with these preambles, but we got lots of emails. So, Tracy and Shane, say hello to each other.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Shane.
Hello, Bob. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello. Hey, Tracy, you got something you want to say right away?
Yeah, crazy, I'm crazy for feeling this long. That was crazy. You played I Fall to Pieces.
Oh, that's right. What the hell? Jesus Christ, I don't have a clue what I'm doing.
Crazy.
I don't even know. The thing is, I was up there making the band and thinking about how great Patsy Cline was and how much I'd say about her, and forgot the song that I was listening to. I was just meditating on the marvel of herself. Fall to Pieces, so that probably came out. I shouldn't have clicked it off. She's pretty young when she goes. There's a very good movie of her. It's about her and her husband. I don't know if there's more than one movie about her, but there's one that came out a few years ago that's worth watching, A Problem with Her Husband, Life of Her Husband. So she was born on LaRouche's birthday. No wonder she's in the LaRouche Quadrant on the chart. September 8th. 10 years after LaRouche, 1932, she dies at 63. That's 31 years. 30 and a half years. That has to be Bill. No one else is allowed to play with the sound effects. It must be Bill. The drops are really affecting Bill. Every time at the top of the break, he comes on with a new skit routine, comedic routine he blasts me with. And I'm supposed to get them all. But 19, she was 30 years old, she heads on out, commits suicide, and left with a great bunch of work. I guess you took the idea, you leave when you're at the top of your game. The movie sort of goes into what was happening the last year with her. It was a bit of a struggle there. If all the pieces, let's see what the year for that is. I mean, did she get all her hits in a couple of years? We'll get to you in a minute. I Fall to Pieces. Another guy. She sang other people's songs. Don Hex, Walking After Midnight. Harlan Howard's I Fall to Pieces. Hank Cochran, She's Got You. Willie Nelson's Crazy. And Don Gibson's Sweet Dreams. Jeez, that's ridiculous. She's not as creative as I thought she was. She just did other people's songs. I am shocked.
She's just a man.
Yeah, the committee will decide whether to remove her from the tiny note chart now. She just was a parrot. Ah, no wonder she died. No wonder she committed suicide. She had no creativity in her. She just was a puppet doll. I Fall to Pieces was released July 1961. And she only lasted another couple of years. Okay, very good, Tracy. Singing a song, that's very... You must have been laughing when I was talking about Crazy. No wonder I couldn't remember how to sing it. I hadn't heard it.
No, I didn't think I could imitate Patsy's version of Crazy in any recognizable form, so I was kind of dreading that, but I got it out.
You did it. You got it. Okay, was there something from the show the other night that we were supposed to continue? Did we exhaust the... You notice I made an announcement as a result of your experience that Ian is now doing Pico sessions. Did we talk about that on the show? Did Caroline come up with that term, join the show?
No, I think that was something you put on Dudes.
I came up with, didn't with you guys, I did with Carolyn. You know, we're talking about mini nano sessions. Like, he just shows up and communicates on your computer, and that's enough amazingness to make you reel for a couple of days. So it's a short session. They're free. They last like 10 seconds to the degree you see them. It could be sitting there for 2 days before you notice it, but usually you do. And thanks to your story, it's been reported by other people, but just the way you described it, I realized, no, that's what Ion's doing. And you know, Ian is communicating to the one percenters. He said he's not going to play much with the 99%ers. He's going to play with the one percenters, and that doesn't mean you're economically wealthy. It just means you're tuned in and properly on the spiritually correct path of ascension or transcension. So you could put yourself in there with Sheila and a few other people who have gotten this kind of communication directly from Ion. You must be part of the 1%, Tracy.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, honestly, when I saw it, something else clicked that Ian had said, and this is later, toward the end, he said, first you engage in the information, you take the drop, and then you know. And when I saw it on there, I knew. I wasn't clear enough to talk about it with anybody, but I knew.
Okay, now it's the third phase. It's not really knowing. It's deciding how much you want to know and experience. Phase three is after you understand the information or you resonate with it, then you take the drops. Phase three is saying, my God, I can go real bliss with this stuff. How much can I take? How much contrast do I require? That's phase three, deciding how the intense or real your ascension is going to be. And that would be knowing, but you're making a choice about it. Did you understand that before?
This was just something, and this was only summer of 2011, so it wasn't quite towards the end. I know it was an evolving, moving target, so at that point, but that one point of when I saw it, it was like I knew that that's what that was. I'm done with contract,
okay.
Though.
Right, so you hadn't heard the three phases laid out at that point.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's what we get heard. We hear later at some point, maybe in the fall of 2011. So, okay, so thanks to your validation, I announced that Ion is doing sessions now. And he will find you if you're a one percenter. Now, I may be wrong saying that you're a one percenter, but it's interesting who Ion is doing this to. I mean, you've been very involved with ION the last month, doing your homework, studying, listening, and engaging, and contributing on the show. I think ION likes that. ION likes people who contribute. Ginny contributes a lot. Sheila contributes a lot. They respond to that. You know what I'm saying? So it's Shane.
I agree.
If Shane is contributing, and he is contributing a lot, he phones in a lot, and if he's doing it without any nonsense in his motive, he'll probably get an acknowledgement too. Right, Shane?
Yep. Looks good. Sounds good.
Okay, so what do you have anything to say you want to talk about?
Well, I like the lyrics in the Toots and the Maytals song. I kept hearing pressure drops, pressure's
right.
Going to drop on you. And then I looked up the lyrics, and it's quite interesting. It says, I say when it drops, you're going to feel it. Know that you were doing wrong. Yeah. I say a pressure drop. Oh, pressure. Oh, yeah. Pressure drop, a drop on you. It's all about drops.
Yeah, very good point. I had not noticed that. I'm just bringing up the lyrics now. Yeah. That's pretty good lyrics. That's phatic communication. And that's McLuhan's initials, Herbert Marsh McLuhan. So he starts off with the right phatic initial. Herbert Marsh McLuhan. Yeah. And then he repeats it. It is you. I say a pressure drop. Now, what is he defining a pressure drop on you? Is he putting pressure on them? I say when it drops, you're going to feel it. Know that you were doing wrong. Okay. He's trying to do a guilt trip on them.
No, I see it as cause a pressure drop. Cause a pressure drop.
Does he say cause?
In my lyrics here, it says cause a pressure drop. Oh, pressure. Oh, yeah, pressure drop, a drop on you.
Man,
it's
going to
cause a pressure drop. All right.
Okay, so a pressure drop, that means it's going to go down. He's dropping drops. Yeah, he's taking their pressure away. He's claiming he can take her pressure away. Okay, yeah, that's drops. That can be a good song, a good lyric to put up. Tell that to Matthew.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Yeah, this is about the drops. They take the pressure off.
That's it.
Drop a drop on you. Wow, that's very good, Shane. See, great contribution. You should get a personal message from ION any day.
I get a Pico session shortly.
Yeah, Pico session.
Well, but also just the first, after the Herbert Marshall McLuhan?
Herbert, yeah.
Yeah, after that it says, it is you, oh yeah, it is you, you, oh yeah, it is you. I mean, it's all about
you.
It's like we're receiving that. It's all about me. It's all about me.
Right. No, he's saying it's all about you, and then you got some pressure on you. Your dynamic symmetry of tensions has gotten a little improportionate or out of proportion, and he's going to know that you were doing it wrong, he says. Know that you were doing wrong, and he's going to relieve the pressure.
Mm.
And he's doing it with a pressure drop. That's pretty neat. Now, we got Matthew here from Roseland, New Jersey. He says, good work. You connected Patsy Cline to the Queen and LaRouche without reading my question. Thank you. Now, I didn't see. Did I read his question? Oh, yeah, like he has here. I hadn't noticed it. He says, hello, Dr. and President Neverett. What intel do you have on Kate Bush? That is the best song of the 80s. And then we talked about it, the Queen. Now, okay, so good work. You connected her to the Queen and LaRouche without reading my question. That's right. Christo from Portland says, yeah, I had a Pico session with ION. He destroyed my new computer. I remember that. That was a while ago. Cost me a lot of greenbacks. Yeah, it cost me a lot of greenbacks to get it fixed. I ain't mad, though. Like Dr. Dean said, I asked for it. That's right.
He
talked it. But I wouldn't call that a session with ION. That was a rejection slip. You had not deserved a session, a Pico session, Christo. You know, not yet anyways. You haven't contributed up. You haven't called in. You're afraid to call in. You only call in vaguely or something. So call in. That's what we're going to say, that you have to call in and talk on the show bear the pressure of Bob and Connie to qualify for the pressure drop. Patsy Cline hit. Now, Sue Bones, Sky Glass Sue says, from Cold Dark Toronto, Patsy Cline! With three exclamation marks. So she likes her, too. Well, Sue grew up with her. Sue discovered her body with Patsy Cline, probably, or discovered herself before she reached puberty with that depression you get when you're in grade four. She probably felt she was crazy. Yep. Yep, she'd be 10 years old in 1961, so yeah, she probably got depressed. And so Patsy, but it flips in, the memories flip into a good memory. So here we are, guys. What did you think of the Arthur Croker session, Tracy? Did you follow that?
Yes, I did, Bob. And at one point there were, I think, four items that he was saying. There was a clash against the chemical body and aggression. And I wondered, and maybe Dr. Dean could jump in on this, and I thought for a moment, maybe the trend of so much obesity is something inside people trying to expand their chemical body to either push out what they feel is the chip, TV pervasive pushing in, and they just keep expanding, hoping that their chemical bodies will reign supreme.
Yeah, no, Ian has talked about it. Ian explained, remember, the name of the book is Body Drift. So you get the feeling, the average person feels their chemical body is floating away, it's drifting off. Because it's in the mixture of the other bodies. And Ion says that people get big because they want to anchor themselves. They want to stay back. They want to keep the chemical body solid and anchored. And so they balloon themselves, like you're saying, to get more poundage, to stay, to make gravity work on them. So it's exactly what you said. And Ion said that. They're trying to stay anchored. They have a body image that everything is just the chemical body and they want to stay in it. They can't allow themselves to see the TV body space and the chip body space, that is physical, too. They're frightened of it. Yep, that fits. You know, I'm looking, is this the part? The evidence for this is pervasive. And he lists off disappeared bodies, excluded ethnicities, prohibited sexualities, undocumented subjects, that means people, disavowed forms of imagination, hopes, and democratic aspirations. Was that the list, or was it another one?
Well, there's another one, but I can see where there are a whole bunch of fits for that also. You've got people that just want to stay at home, garden and watch porn, watch the television, not socialize, eat Twinkies and chips all night.
That's right. That I'd call that trying to anchor the TV body. They don't want to float with the chip body, which is interactive. So it's an antisocial response by cocooning and watching televisual imagery, usually porn, because it's instant and stimulates, right? So it's intense. So, you're right. But that's trying to anchor the chemical body. I mean, the TV body. You get it?
Yeah, I do. Those were my thoughts on when I was listening to that.
Crash. The word crash?
Crash, yeah.
Okay, let's see. It says, one part, where immersion in the idea of catastrophic, the chaotic, in essence, crash theory. No, that's not it. Oh, here it is. We have simultaneous, this was the quadrophenia, simultaneous impulse toward acceleration, drift, and crash. That's what you're referring to, right?
Right, that they were drifting off into their own, people drifting into their own world, you know, whether it be via computer or the television, crash, with everything else external.
Yeah, and then acceleration, which is a feeling of not controlling, or trying to accelerate it by having instant TV content, like watching a TV series on, let me watch this, watch all 10 episodes in one night. That's acceleration. it
you
reminds
do that,
me.
Though.
What?
You do that, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a great fan of Acceleration. I watched Good Wife last night. It's sort of come back after being off for a month, and I've been so not watching it. I couldn't take the people. They're ugly. They're damn yuppies, you know, conflicting, arguing, and ripping each other off. I'd lost my immunity to them, so I decided I'm not going to watch it week by week. I'll wait till it builds up, you know, five or six, seven shows, then I'll watch it accelerate a bit. It's too painful to drip-drop it over 2 months. But the other thing is that we're 24 hours away from episode, third last episode of Fringe coming up tomorrow.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to have an ending point. Let's see. Let's go back to messages. We got here, this guy says, I never knew Patsy Cline till K.D. Lang in the 80s, Bob. I am the pressurization poster girl. That's right. Now, Sue is the one who's wanted to be in a pressure cabinet since she's 5, 6, 7 years old. That's what Ion said. She likes to be, she requires to be in a pressure cabin since she was like 4, and that's why she got into flight attendant world. So she's right. She's a pressurization poster girl, and then she's now enjoying the release from it. No longer has cirrhosis. She says, now, I don't know how you never knew of Patsy Cline. It must be because her father was a jazz musician, just played jazz when she was a kid. She had no say in the matter. How could you miss Patsy Cline? That's, you know, right there on CHNS, or what was it called in Halifax? Who grew up in Halifax? Chum, not Chum. CHNS. Oh. What?
Yeah, so it was Chum FM. That was out of Montreal, and then they spread out. That was the station
yeah,
I lived
they weren't,
to.
They weren't in Halifax in the early 60s. Do you remember what that, it was CHNS?
CFRB.
That's in outside Toronto, Carolyn. Anyway, Sue probably remembers. She actually, Frank, whatever his name was, the DJ on there, and Sue was forced to interact with those guys because she won a modeling gig or won a beauty pageant, and you had to see these media people. They're trying to make her a news reader eventually, Tracy. She was going to follow your path, or you followed her path.
That was the path. You win
yeah.
beauty pageant, and then you go right straight to news.
Did you win a beauty pageant?
Yes, I did.
So are you still cute?
I wouldn't call me cute. I'm tall and distinctive. That's what I would call me.
Oh, you're like the classy look.
Yeah, yes.
So Sue writes in CHNS. That's like CHNS Nova Scotia, but did I say CHNS? What was I saying? Yeah, I'm so I guess that could be Chum Nova Scotia, CHNS. For Toronto, where Chum was in Toronto, that's CH Understanding Media in honor of McLuhan, Chum, so who was in Toronto. So she's saying it's CHNS, but there was this other gang. We got some exciting music coming up. I like the
what
music part of the show. Oh, no. It has to be a surprise. Oh, well,
right,
you can try to guess. Well,
Zappa.
Are you guys... No Zappa. Let's see. Did we do everything? Christo got destroyed. Matthew, Kate Bush. We Are the Experiment. Long John. Oh, okay. Here's Wendy. So we addressed her interest in McLuhan in the 50s, and me and my father. She goes, very incredible. Thanks for answering. I will have to listen to the rest of the show tomorrow as hubby is off to bed and needs a kiss goodnight. We'll stay up late next show and maybe even get brave and call in. Thanks, Bob and Carolyn. Great show as usual. I have learned to expect nothing less from you. Now, that's right. We only do the great. We only do great. But I require you guys to say things when you're here. As Bill used to say, Bill said, I don't know why people call in and they don't have anything to say, so prove them wrong. What do you want to talk about? Oh, we're going to play some ion, some hard-edged ion.
Okay, Bob, here we go. This morning I turned my radio station on, and for the first time ever, they played the Zappa song.
First time ever you've heard it or ever heard them play it, or what do you...
Correct. On the station I listen to, it's very, I would just say, lots of, you know, local Texas bands and, you know, whatever you want to call it, indie rock kind of stuff. Just a whole mix of music. And the song was Peaches and Regalia.
Yes, that was... That is, I played Tony Williams' Lifetime, Tony Williams' Lifetime in the first hour, the jazz guys, and there in 69 were one of the first jazz groups to go into the new genre of jazz rock. Well, in 69 is when Hot Rats came out. That Zappa had broken up the Mothers of Invention, he jokingly said, the comedy group, and he started doing serious jazz stuff with his jazz buddies, and that album was the one of the first jazz rock things. It came out in 69, same as Tony Williams, and that song, Peaches and Regalia, was a big hit on that album in this jazz rock phase. That's a great piece to hear.
The station plays a lot of interesting things, things you would never, it'll be Neil Young, and then they'll play Eagles, and then they'll play Seven Nation, just, you name it, lots of reggae. Just stuff like that. So it's just an assortment of great music. I can send you the link to the station. It was just very bizarre. There's just all kinds of weird synchronicity things that happen, start happening in your life once you've engaged in Bob and Carolyn and Ion.
That's right. So, yes, definitely send me the link to that station because it reminds me, I can look at their playlist. It reminds me of songs. Now, they're doing my method of, you know, eclectic collage, but they don't, I bet they don't play classical music.
They do not.
Mix that in? Yeah.
They do not. No.
See, they do not, and they probably don't play country. See, nobody goes as wide range as I do. They don't include the whole thing. And
now,
I mean,
I've never heard you play bluegrass.
Play what?
Bluegrass.
Yeah, I realized I'd missed that. You know, the association wrote me, Bob, we have not heard any bluegrass. We demand to be represented in your United Nations of Eclectic Recorded Music. So I just go on there and I find Ray Price. And it's really funny. He's an old guy. He's bent over. He still can sing, but he's very wooden. But he does a good version and better than the older footage. They had footage of him in the 50s, but this is good. And
you haven't been playing Vestal lately.
I thought of that. I said, oh, geez, I have no religion going here. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we can find another kind of Vestal. Maybe, you know, play her occasionally. But you guys get Vestal when you go through the archives, right?
Yeah.
Nothing but Vestal there. So you don't need that. You got it. So, Shane, you got anything you... Okay, I have a... We might also do some statements here, since you're here. We have Michael in South Africa wrote me. Oh, yeah. Tracy, what's her name? Suzanne is going to be in touch with you.
Yes, I did. I got an email from her.
Oh, okay, good. So, Michael, where is he? Groups Non-Physical. He writes an interesting thing. Now, Michael has just gotten to be a member of Dupes. And so he read some of my interviews in Paranoia magazine years ago. And he says, it was brilliant reading. Puts together a lot of the pieces randomly heard on the audio archives. Deeply phatic for me, as well as energizing and activating. Roll on, Dobstown. Then he says, was, is the global warming meme a reaction resistance to the new cold fusion environment? And I came up with a pattern and I said, I've thought that global warming was a reaction to Web 1.0, that'd be the 90s. not the more recent Web 2.0. The ozone hole was a reaction to the global theater of analog media, that being the 70s and 80s. Remember, Ian used to say, nobody talks about the ozone hole anymore. And without Al Gore, they can't even keep global warming going. So what would be the disaster in the environment, the earthly environment, for Web 2.0? What tsunamis. You know what I notice when I'm in the beach town on the water at Polo Beach every day? The kids are always yelling, tsunami! Tsunami! You know, these little five-year-olds, they all want to experience a tsunami. So I think that's what is... Yeah, that is the image. Cause
don't they know their words create?
Oh, they know that. Right. They're little kids, but they're tough. You know, they see me. They well, Bob's here. Bob's not going to get killed, so they figure they can get away with it.
Yeah.
But they tsunami is that. So what can we say that the image last few years, Web 2.0, has been earthquakes, tsunamis? Is that the disaster image as opposed to the fear icon of ozone hole or global warming?
Bushfires.
Brush fires?
It's the smoke monster. Bushfire. We call them bushfires in Australia. We've had a few last week across Australia, spot fires. And I think it's something to do with the way people talk here about the weather is really interesting. Some people look ahead to the forecast, like they have their iPhone app forecasts, and they say it's going to be 45 on Thursday next week. It's going to be really hot. Maybe it's going to be, you know, maybe there'll be fires and that sort of thing. And then surely,
no, you're right.
You know,
yeah, the fires has been huge all over the planet in different countries, like your place, California. Yeah, so a fire is more Web 2.0 is something catching viral. That started with YouTube.
And it's the smoke monster as well, I think.
Yeah, Smoke Monster and Lost. So, J.J. Abrams Lost. So, so the going viral is an instant flash flame. So, yeah, maybe global fires is the fearful thing. Do they say it's due to pollution and human ignorance that causes these flash fires?
No, they're saying now it's... well, sometimes some of the fires in Tasmania, where I was last week, two of them were caused by... One was a campfire that was left unattended, and another was two weeks prior to last week, burning tree stumps. That's how they get rid of tree stumps. And that tree stump fire had ember glowing in 2 weeks that no one knew about. And then,
okay, we've had enough. Shane, your phone went broken again. You're going to have to disconnect and fix that thing. Is it probably because you wait on the line so long? If we see your name, we need to talk to you right away, because as you wait, you use up the good vibration. he went off. Anyways, I let it run, the noisy, for our avant-garde free jazz portion of the show. That was abstract music, the art of noise. But you were implying some campfire did it, and what was the second
there was
item?
There was a campfire that was left unattended, which then caught on and lit up the bush. And then there was a stump that a farmer was burning out of the ground 3 weeks ago, and he thought, or they thought, that the fire had finished, but there must have been an ember glowing in the tree, and then 2 weeks later, last week, it ignited and started another fire. So some of them started like that. The rest, I don't know. I don't know what the cause was.
Well, that's human. That's human cause.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's like the chaos butterfly. It's the YouTube and that and Facebook, you're one person. You can communicate to millions. You got the power of a chaos butterfly. That's what it is. One little tiny person like Sheila causing the volcano blow up in Iceland. This is what it is. This fits. It's little one people causing millions of dollars of fun and expense. Okay, so anyways, so Mike says that. And then he then comes back and says he read the articles on Matrix and how I was in the Matrix and all this. So he says, so the body disappeared. disappeared. Well, that may explain why I started working out the day after my first RNA drop. Even the explanation of Manipian satire is somehow liberating, though I'm not sure why that is yet. I get why, in a holographic reality, everything is fatty communion, the cosmic joke of it all. Michael, you could say everything's fatty communion in the analog phase in the global theater. In the digital phase, Web 1.0 and Web 2.0, it's Manipian fatty communion. Which I won't go into explaining right now. So it's more than that. There's something so unspeakable about all of this. Sometimes I do feel the holographic unreality of everything, especially while reading an article like the ones from Paranoia magazine. Now, holographic is not unreal. It's physical. This is what you have to realize, that virtual reality is not virtual. It is real. It's a physical process. Just doesn't look like the old physics. Then he says, I have not yet come across a human being more alive than what I have so far experienced of you, Bob. I suspect Carolyn is as robust in everything. So when you say that you two are the only ones alive, that is emphatic communion for me. No, it's not emphatic. It's emphatic. You got it backwards. Emphatic is not emphasizing something. When you emphasize something, you're emphatic. And that's emphatic that we were the only ones alive. The way to set the demon straight is to demonstrate. You two live as a demonstration of what being human offers. Great acting. Maybe it's not true that the world disappeared. Not all of it anyway. Now, he needs an explanation of what disappeared. When I said everything's disappeared, and then I was interviewed about it, I said that actually is the point of cry of an ad man. Someone in the software world in the early 90s who couldn't get people to watch ads anymore because of remote viewing and all that, channel hopping. So the thing is, everything's disappeared means that the communication between media has disconnected and disappeared. There's no connections between media. The chemical body sitting there on the sidelines, the chemical body has not disappeared, but it is sidelined and it has no platform for communication. That's why Tracy just plays with her chickens. After communicating within the Android meme for years, there's no personal communication left for her, so she just drops off. We have someone calling us. We'll just have to let that ride.
Right.
Did you get that, Tracy?
I did. Before you get too far ahead with Mike, I wanted to go back to early archive ion, and as far as the global warming, ion would have said, global warming, global cooling. So, but those were in the early days.
Yeah. No, that's good. He would say it would go up and down. Maybe Web 2.0, it creates the idea that ozone hole goes up and small, shrink, big, small. We are not hypnotized by the global theater hologram icon. We start to see the flexibility because we can make an input in the media with Web 2.0. We can stop the collage or the charge. So that's a good point there. Now we've got 10 seconds, so... we'll hope you guys stay here. Shane, maybe you should go off, you know, cool down your phone,
yeah.
and then I'll come back
that.
And miss it. Okay, we'll be back in a little while.
AchieveRadio.com.
Are you or someone you love struggling with stress, anxiety, or less than perfect health? Hi, this is Pastor Ginny, and as a woman of faith, I spent many of my years in ministry burdened with anxiety and fear. In 2010, I met Dr. Carolyn Dean and took her recommendation to try RNA drops. Within days of taking RNA drops, my anxiety disappeared and my confidence came back for good. And the peace of mind that I once called a miracle has now become normal. Discover what RNA drops can do for you. Order a free sample today at www.rnafreesample.com. That's www.rnafreesample.com. You can get a free sample of RNA drops valued at $50 and pay only shipping and handling. Hear my testimony and the testimony of many others at www.rnafreesample.com. Maybe there's a miracle.